We know that for a fact. In fact, let me ask you this question. What is hope? What is hope? What is hope? I know you weren't expecting me to ask you that question. Now you didn't think about it. It's a word we use often, and we kind of know what it means, but what is hope? What is hope? What is a firm definition of hope? Well, let me tell you this. If you ask most people will tell you that hope is a feeling, it's a wish, it's a desire of some sort. It's wishful thinking. That's what hope is. It's wishful thinking. It's something that you hope will happen, something that you wish will happen, but doesn't quite happen. That's what most people will tell you. Or it could or could not happen. There's no certainty there. To a believer, hope is different than that. I mean, there is some semblance there, but it's a little more concrete to the believer. Because hope to the believer is an eager expectation. It's an eager expectation that's based on the promises of God. All throughout the Old Testament, we see people that had placed, the Jews in particular, that had placed their hope in the Lord. But why did they place their hope in the Lord? They placed their hope in the Lord for a few reasons. Number one, they had already seen God at work. They had already seen what God can do. So they knew hope. They knew and understood hope. Abraham, for example, he was promised that God would make him into a great nation. That God would make him into a great nation. He would make his family into a great nation. And Abraham saw that promise fulfilled. He saw that promise fulfilled. Not only that, when the Jews were enslaved in Egypt, they saw God fulfill his promise and take them out of Egypt. Their hope was in God, and they saw the hand of God helping them at a time of need. They saw God's provision in the wilderness. And they even saw God fulfill his promise of a land. So they knew and understood hope not as a desire, not as simply wishful thinking, but they saw it with eager expectation. There is a genuine hope. There is hope. Now, let me tell you, in the pages of the Old Testament, there was a hope that was greater than any hope. There was hope that was given by God. A hope that was greater than any hope. You see, Israel, the Jews, they had been a nation. And as a nation, now they had a king. And out of all the kings that they had, the very best king was David. David was the greatest king they had. And David, he left a legacy, but his legacy wasn't always great. And the people and the kings that came from the line of David, they were sometimes good kings, sometimes not so good kings. But God, after all that, he uses the psalmist and he uses the prophets to declare there's a king coming. In Isaiah, for example, and if we can put Isaiah up there, in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 through 7, it says this, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulder, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of this government and peace, there will be no end." You see, when it came to a promise, God had given them a promise. Listen, I know that you've messed around with some kings in the past. And I know that you put your hope on some kings. But let me tell you that there is a king that's coming that's going to be the greatest king. And his government will be forever. He will rule forever. We go on and it says this. "He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from the time on and forever. This would be a forever king. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. In the Old Testament, there was a promise that was given. Hope was promised. Now, most of us, when we think of hope and when we think of a king and when we think of a hero, for example, many of us might say, I don't need a hero. Many of us might think that. But let me tell you, I believe that many of us have a desire for a hero, like a real hero, someone that's going to save us. I believe we have a desire for a hero. Our last election, some of us thought that one guy would be our hero. The other half of us thought another one would be our hero. And every 4 years, we go over this over and over in our context. Every 4 years, we get to vote for what we hope is a new hero. Someone that's going to save the day. Someone that's going to come and we're finally going to reach that place of peace and prosperity and everything's going to be just right. We're all really hoping for that. It's my opinion. If what I'm saying is not true, then why did Spider-Man earn over $50 million on Thursday? And over the weekend, they were projecting about 200, sorry, not 50, yeah, 50 million, not 50,000, in case I said that. I'm not sure what I said now. But 50 million on Thursday. And they were projecting it would be over 200 million just on opening weekend. You know why I believe that happens? Because in us, there's a desire for a hero. In us, there's a desire for someone to come and save the day. Someone to fix everything that's wrong in our world. And let me tell you, the Jews, they were expecting that kind of hero. They were expecting a Messiah. That's who they had placed their hope in. They thought, finally, there's going to be a king, and that king is going to be a wonderful counselor. That king is going to be bring peace and joy, and there's going to be peace on earth. Man, could you imagine if our next president, presidential candidate said, hey, listen, I can guarantee that there's going to be peace in the world. Well, be careful with that one. That might not be the right one you want to vote for. But seriously, like if someone could guarantee us peace, guaranteed, wouldn't you sign up for that? Wouldn't you say, yeah, I think I'm going with that one? Jesus was promised. Hope was promised. But as we close the pages of the Old Testament, there's a big problem. There's no hope. Hope hasn't come. Sure, there's God, but there's this what's called the intertestamental period, which is between the Old Testament and the New Testament, where God was just silent. God wasn't speaking through prophets. God was just silent. And let me tell you, that was a really dark time because we closed the Old Testament and there is no hope. And could you imagine being a Jew, like, I have been placing all my hope and there's no hope. I know that God promised, but I'm not seeing it. That's the beauty of when you trust in God. That sometimes your eyes don't see it, but there is still hope. Because when my God, I don't know about your God, but when my God says something, my God fulfills it. I don't know about your God, but when my God said that hope is coming, that a king is coming, you could bet your bottom dollar that hope is coming. But we don't see hope. The pages close. Oh, but in the New Testament, hope does come. In the pages of the New Testament, we see when hope came, and that's in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 14. Let's read that. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went on his own to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. This is significant because this is now showing us that Jesus is of the line of David. And what were we promised in the Old Testament? We were promised that there would be a king from the line of David that would come, and his throne would be forever. We'll continue reading. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." A Savior, a hero, has been born to you, and he is Christ the Lord. By the way, Christ simply means he's the Messiah. He is the Savior. Christ the Lord, a Savior born for you. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men whom his favor rests." For the first time, there's going to be peace on earth. There's a Savior born, and there will be peace on earth. This is amazing. Now, what I love about this is that you see the fullness of God, all the glory, all the majesty of God, but it is wrapped up in a baby. It is wrapped up in a baby. I wish you understood just the beauty of that, the humility of that. See, because the Jews would have expected, wait, the Savior is coming? Oh, there will be big lights. There will be a big show. Big people will come. There will be kings and princesses there. And there will be royalty there. But no. We don't find a palace. We don't find any kings. What we find is a stable. What we find is shepherds, and we don't think too much about this, but when you think of shepherds, being a shepherd was really kind of a low-income type of job. This is kind of like the type of job that you do when, you know, life is just not working out too well for you. Typically, young people would be shepherds. They were kind of like, you know, just this was your entry-level position. So to be a shepherd wasn't a really big deal. In fact, it was something that people didn't really want to do. Like, you're a shepherd, kind of low class, like that. Shepherd, that's kind of like minimum wage. I'm not going to deal with that. And so they really being a shepherd wasn't what people aspired to. No one said, "Oh, when I grow up, I want to be a shepherd." That's just not the way that worked. Jesus came to some really humble people. And he came in a really humble place and in a really humble way. I mean, who can be more vulnerable than a baby? Jesus came in the lowliest of ways. And if you're not careful, you'll miss it. A lot of people missed it, in fact. They missed it. They didn't see what God was doing. Let me tell you this. Isn't it interesting how God sometimes will show up in your life in unexpected ways? Isn't it funny how God just shows up? Maybe there was a tragedy, but in the midst of that tragedy, you see God showing up. Or maybe there was a problem, and in the midst of that problem, you weren't expecting that quite like that, but God somehow is in the mix of that. Sometimes you ought to be careful not to miss God in unexpected packages. Because here was all the fullness, all the glory of God in this baby boy. Could you imagine looking at that baby and saying, oh my gosh, this is God wrapped up in flesh. I could almost imagine like someone having that thought just for a split second. The Bible doesn't say anything like this, but I'm just imagining stuff. I imagine someone, you know, one of the shepherds being there and saying, holy cow, this is God. And not even saying it out loud, but just thinking it. And maybe Jesus like looking at him and winking, like, you know, like, you got it. You know, like, this is God. God in the flesh. God keeps his promises. God is faithful. What Christmas morning tells us, that very first Christmas morning, is that God will do what God has said he will do. It was the fulfillment of prophecy, but really, it was God saying, I am faithful. You can hope in me because when I say I will do something, I will do it. And it was all wrapped up right there. Hope came into the world. But I love how there's humility, the humility of earth, with the majesty of heaven. You hear angels singing. You hear angels announcing this birth. And I don't know if you've ever heard or seen an angel. The best that I can come to is I can tell you that I have heard angels sing. One time, my daughter, this is a different time than the time I heard angels sing, but one time, we're laying down in bed, and Ava is right there with us, and it's like, I don't know, like, it's late at night. I want to say it's maybe 11:30 at night, close to midnight almost, but she's in bed with us, and she looks at the window. She goes, Mom, Dad, do you see the angel right there? Now, when a little kid says that late at night, you're like, what? What'd you just say? You're like... And I'm like, what? I'm sorry, Ava, what did you say, honey? Like, she's like, the angel right there at the window. And I said, you see an angel at the window? She goes, oh, never mind, it was the curtain. All right, but that's not the time I heard angels. I'll tell you just a quick story. My dad had a band. We would record, and this was years ago, when we didn't have as much technology as we have today. And we were recording, and in the recording studio, all of a sudden, the singer, it's a Christian band, the singer is talking about the coming of the Lord. She's singing about the coming of the Lord in the studio. This was a song that we weren't even going to record. This was just something that was there. Like last minute, we decided, fine, let's throw that song in. And we went ahead and we recorded this song. And this lady, when she is done, she is weeping, worshiping the Lord in an uncontrollable way. We didn't think anything of it. We just left. We left the recording studio, went home. Well, guess what? We're listening to the cassette tape. That's kind of like a CD. That's kind of like an MP3 player. That's kind of like a just subscription of Apple Music nowadays. But we had this cassette tape, and we're listening to it, and somebody says, hey, did you hear that there? And we're like, what did we hear? They're like, there's some voices recorded in that song, and we didn't do those voices. And we're like, what? So we listen in carefully, and we say, well, let's listen. Before you knew it, we found the spot. We were all hearing it, and we heard to what sounded to us to be like angels. We were like, wow, this is different. And all in one unison, it sounded like a lot of people, but yet it sounded like one. It was the most beautiful thing I've ever heard. But we heard it in this little piece. In recording studios, I'll tell you a little bit more about recording studios because you all want to know, right? In recording studios, they have the ability to turn off the instruments and just leave the vocals playing. Well, the vocals record from a microphone, right? Well, we left only the vocals playing. We go back into the studio. We hear only the vocals. And can I tell you, there was more than just that one piece. There is choirs, what we believe, choirs of angels just singing in that moment. Like singing. I'll tell you what, I'm going to post it. And I'm going to send you a link so that you can hear it yourself. I'll tell you exactly where it was at. And you'll hear it for yourself. But let me tell you this. That was a beautiful moment for us. But could you imagine how the heavens rejoiced, how angels sang, how angels announced the birth of the Savior. Could you imagine the joy on the angels as they are singing, "There will finally be peace on earth, and it's coming through Jesus." Now, if you're a thinker, you're probably saying, "Okay, Pastor Rob, this happened 2 years ago, and here we are, 2021, almost 2022, and I don't see peace on earth. In fact, I see the exact opposite of peace." Well, let me take you to the fact that, number one, hope is here. But let me tell you what the problem is. Hope is here, but there's a problem. Let's go to John 3:16. It says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." And then we keep reading, and this is the verdict, the Bible says. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world. Make no mistake, light has come into the world. Hope has come into the world. But man loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. The reality is that many people don't believe in Jesus Christ, not necessarily because there's not enough evidence, because there is plenty of evidence. There's plenty of evidence about Jesus. We've shared some of that in our messages. There's plenty of evidence there. Plenty of evidence. But that's not the reason that they're not following Jesus Christ. The reason that they're not following Jesus Christ is because light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light. Why? Because they loved their sin. It's the problem is sin. It's their sin. It's their love and appreciation for their own sin that keeps them away from Jesus. Jesus came to give life and to give it more abundantly. You would think that people would jump on that. You would think that people would say, "Oh my gosh, really? Life? Eternal life? More abundantly? Already paid for? I don't have to do anything? Yes, sign me up." But that's still, to this day, not the case. The Bible says it's because we love darkness more than we love light. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. Hope is actually here. It's like it's here right now. It's here with us right now. And unlike the hope that we have in wishful thinking, it's actually a firm hope. It's an eager expectation. It's an eager expectation. Romans tells us that it's a hope that doesn't disappoint us. Romans 5:1-5, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace, and in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings." The hope that we have is a hope that allows us to rejoice even in the midst of sufferings. It produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. Do you know that you have a hope that will not disappoint you? Will not. It's a guaranteed hope. It's a guaranteed hope. For us believers, we believe that one day, both the living and those who have fallen asleep will be called up, and we will meet Jesus in the heavens. We believe that we will see Jesus and that we will live with him forever and ever. And that there will be peace, that there will be peace. There will be no more crying, no more sorrow, no more COVID-19. We have a blessed hope. And hope is here. So if hope is here, then are you living in that hope? Do you have that hope? I'm not talking about a desire that may or may not be fulfilled. I'm talking about a hope that is actual, a hope that will come to pass. Let me tell you, there's two ways to hope. I'm thinking about when you work. Maybe you start a new job and they tell you, well, you're going to have to wait, give us 2 weeks worth of work before we pay you. And maybe that first time, you're like a little unsure, like, I don't know, will they pay me or not? After they've been doing it over and over and over, you start relying on that. And that's a different kind of hope. That's an assured hope. Why is that an assured hope? Because they have kept their word for all this time. It's a kind of eager expectation that we have. When we think about God, he has promised, he has kept his promises. And if he promises again, I know that he will keep his promise. Can anyone here testify, I know I can, that God has kept his promises in your life? I can tell you that God has kept his promises. I've seen God do things in my life. And let me tell you, that's what helps me to say, I know that my God is faithful. And I know that hope is here. Hey, listen, let me tell you something. Without Christ, there is truly no hope. In Christ, there is secured hope. Without Christ, there's just wishful thinking. You might ask yourself, why is it that Christians, no matter what happens, how come they keep facing life and they keep saying, no, I know that God is going to do something. I know that the best is yet to come. I know that God has better things ahead. How is it that believers can do that? Because God has been faithful. He's always been faithful. The truth is that we should be trusting God to a fault. That you shouldn't be so worried about life. That you shouldn't be so concerned. In fact, Jesus told us that. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. God says, I got that covered. I've got your meals already planned out. I've got your clothing already planned out. It's already set up for you. What are you, or who are you, trusting? I want you to know that today you can say, I want to put my trust in Jesus. I want to trust in that sure hope. What is hope? It is that eager expectation that God will fulfill his promises. And the reality is that you can just expect it. I don't know when God will fulfill all his promises. I don't know. No one knows. The time or the hour. We don't know, but we do know that he will fulfill his promises. We do know that he will be true to his word. What is your hope? Where is your hope? What is hope? An eager expectation that God will fulfill his promise. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness, Lord. And Lord, even as we stand here together, God, December 19th, 2021, God, and we think about just so much going on in our world, Lord. Whether it's civil unrest, whether it's pandemic, whether it's strife in the home, marriages, whatever is going on, God, there's so much around us that wants to persuade us to not place our hope in you. There's so much that wants to say, why are you still hoping? And Lord, I just pray for us today, Lord, that we would be able to stand up and say, Lord, we have placed our hope, we have a living hope in you, Lord Jesus. So, Father, regardless of what surrounds us, Lord, we know that your word is true. We know that your word doesn't return void, but it accomplishes the purpose for which it was sent, Lord. And Lord, we know that hope is here today, Lord. It's really up to us to decide whether we want to live in that hope or not. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus. Jesus, we're so grateful. Lord, we're so thankful that all the glory and all the majesty, all your glory and all your majesty was wrapped up in a baby boy. And that today, because of that baby boy that came into this earth with a mission, fulfilled his mission, not just died, but raised to new life in 3 days, Lord, we trust that, Lord, death has no victory over us, Lord. We trust that, Lord, no matter what happens, Lord Jesus, you will have our backs, Lord God, and we put our trust firmly in you. There's someone here today, Lord God, that doesn't have that hope. I pray that today would be the day that they place their hope and their trust in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here and you don't know Jesus, you've never put your trust in Jesus, let me tell you, today is a great day. Tomorrow, not as good. It'll be okay if you make it there, but today is the best day. Today is the right time. Right now is the right time for you to, from today forward, to start living in that hope. And you say, how do I do that? Well, Jesus Christ has offered a gift to you. The gift is called salvation. And he wanted on the cross, dying for your sin and dying for my sin. I couldn't die for my sin. You couldn't die for your sin. Or you know, I didn't want to die for sure for my sin. I don't want to die for my sin. I'm talking about eternal life. Let me tell you, Jesus said, here it is. I'll sacrifice my life for you so that you could have new life. There's people all around this room, maybe some people even watching with you today, let me tell you, that have already trusted Jesus. They've already said, I put my trust in Jesus. All that God did was give you this gift. Now it's up to us to say, I receive that gift. I receive the gift of Jesus. I receive the gift of salvation. How do you do it? You just trust in Jesus. You confess him as Lord and Savior of your life. And you say, and that's it? Yeah, that's it. Everything that needed to be done for you to be saved, for me to be saved, was done on the cross in Calvary. So today I want to just pray with you and for you. If this is your first time here or your first time listening to anything like this, let me tell you, there is new life in Jesus. And if you want that new life, I want you to say to God right now, as I pray this last prayer, I want you to say, yes, Jesus, you are Lord and Savior of my life. So agree with me in this prayer. Heavenly Father,